And you are listening to FW Live on the FW Radio Network. I am Patrick. With me, Danny Danger and Eric. Fellas, we're back on Wednesday night. I was about to say Tuesday night, but it's not Tuesday. So my days are doing thrown because of the day of labor. But how are you fellas doing this evening?
Not too bad. Just the usual type stuff, man.
I'm full. I just got back from Longhorns, so.
Oh, nice.
Good day.
Uh-huh. That sounds delish. Before we get to the talk about CM Punk and him being released with cause by AEW, Eric, you weren't here to give us your thoughts on All In, All Out. Well, no, All Out happened last weekend. All In.
I didn't watch it, and I genuinely don't care. Okay.
Really? All right.
Fuck AEW. Cool. AEW can eat my butthole. And yeah, that's where I'm at with that.
And is this a recent development? Is this because of the treatment of one CM Punk?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get to it. CM Punk fired by AEW with cause, as they said, because of the altercation at Wembley, which, like I said last week, right? It was supposed to have been the biggest night in AEW or biggest day in AEW history, and all people can talk about is CM Punk and what happened backstage with Jack Perry, who's currently suspended indefinitely.
Even though he provoked the whole fucking thing, let's just suspend him.
Provocation is not the same as aggression, sir.
Don't care.
If you provoke somebody into hitting you, they get charged with battery. You don't get charged with, agitating somebody. Man, they're supposed to show restraint when somebody irritates you. You're an adult and a professional.
You mean like when you barge into somebody's locker room and get a slap on the wrist for it?
Yeah.
So,
somebody else's wrong does not justify another's wrong, sir.
Yeah. That's also true. So it's funny because they asked Tony Khan about CM Punk and about his if there was any what do you call that after you get let go, a period where you can't work with another
non-compete
company. Yes, non-compete clause, and he refused to answer. Said that's talk for the lawyers and them. Which leads me to believe that there's got to be some type of clause.
And he doesn't want to say shit because that's one of those things that that fans of WWE felt was kind of unfair when WWE did it. Oh no, they can't go work for X amount of time. That's not cool. They got to sit at home and get paid. So he doesn't want to admit that they do similar business practices because most places do similar business practices to their competitors. So he doesn't want to be like, oh yeah, we do this. And then fans go, oh, boo, boo, boo. You said you were different. You said you were going to change the world.
Yeah. Crazy. I mean, obviously CM Punk is being quiet because that's, CM Punk. I mean, unfortunately, at this point, he doesn't have a friend to have him on his podcast. So we probably won't see that. But, you know, like he was when he left WWE, he was quiet for a while and eventually found a way to say his piece. He may have eventually down the road say his piece, knowing that there are people within WWE, especially top people, that do not want him back. What are the odds that CM Punk returns to WWE eventually? Or is
he done? Who are some of these top people who don't want him there? I've never heard anything about this.
Oh, Rollins. Rollins has been very vocal.
He doesn't like him and all that.
Yeah, I think, and this wasn't even a, this wasn't a WWE interview. This was somebody outside WWE interviewing him. I think at some award show or something. I can't remember what it was. Asking him about Phil Brooks coming back to WWE, and he's like, "Stay away, cancer. We don't want you, whatever." So. Somebody as prominent, you know, as him, apparently the word is there's a few other people who feel the same way. But then again, there are also people who are pro CM Punk. So I don't know. I mean, Vince said in his podcast, in the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast many, many years ago, that he would have no problem having CM Punk back. You know, he talked about how his relationship with Hogan and Warrior, and heck, even Bruno Sammartino, a man who loathed everything that Vince did with the WWE, eventually came back. So, is there a way for CM Punk to come back? Do we see that, or was this his last match?
I think whether it's his last match or not is dependent on him. Does he want to wrestle more? You know, I mean, he doesn't really need the money. He didn't really need the money when he went to AEW. It seemed that he just wanted to try something, you know, try a new challenge in wrestling, try a new venture, you know, give the fans, you know, a couple big cool moments, you know, his return, and, you know, do the dog collar match on a bigger stage. And, you know, kind of work with a handful of people. And I think he did what he wanted to there for the most part, you know, accomplish those goals. So it's up to him if he wants to continue wrestling and wants to even pursue anything wrestling. I mean, you know, from the time he left WWE to, you know, deciding to go to AEW, like, he pretty much hadn't done anything wrestling related at all. You know, no signings, no conventions. He wasn't really making appearances. You know, he was just trying to live kind of a quiet life. You know, he would go to hockey games, and that was kind of like the big thing that he would do, and fans would see him there and harass him there. So it's up to him, you know. Does he feel he has unfinished business in WWE that he can actually, that's attainable? You know, does he want to try to go back and achieve that, you know, main event WrestleMania goal that he once had, that he considered a failure after he left the company? I mean, that's up to him. I mean, that's the ball's in his court first, regardless of whether anybody wants him anywhere. Because I guarantee you that people are going to be willing to pay to see him, okay, wherever he goes. So it's up to him if he wants to go somewhere and, you know, put up with the wrestling business again, because it obviously, yes, it's given him a lot of good things in his life, you know, his wife and, you know, a fortune and et cetera, but ultimately at this stage, it seems like it's a lot more stress and headache and pain and aggravation than it's worth to him.
excuse me. I think we'll see him back. I think we'll see him back before the end of the year. Even when he was suspended with the brawl out, there's rumors abounding right now that he had made contact with WWE to see if he was, you know, welcomed back, and it seemed like those talks were positive, but, you know, They never released him. He went back, and I don't know. I think enough time has passed, and I think he realized, you know what they say, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Well, he went to another wrestling promotion and realized that it was run by a bunch of fucking idiots, and that the structure of WWE was actually a little different. As many issues that came about at the end of Punk's WWE career, it was nowhere near as bad as this. Just from a standpoint of, at least Punk never got physical with anybody in WWE. You know, it was well after he was gone that he might have burned some bridges, but, you know, words are words. You can eventually mend fences if you have a sit down talk. And I think Triple H would be willing to sit down and have that talk. If the business is right, and on both ends, not just the WWE's end, but, you know, the business has to be right for Punk. He can't, if he can't achieve what he needs or he wants to achieve, and they can't come to an agreement, then maybe that is it. But, you know, at the end of the day, the business has to make sense for everybody. I think it could.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I could definitely see it. I never thought I see the day when Ultimate Warrior would have come back to WWE, especially after the DVD that came out, you know, the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior. And then, and then Bruno Sammartino being a guy who's a very hard-headed guy. I mean, he has his beliefs, and he took his stand early on. He came back. I mean, heck, Jesse Ventura came back after suing WWE and beating him in court. So anything could happen. Could CM Punk come back? I definitely do believe he could, even if some talent, you know, I mean, if Hulk Hogan can make amends after, you know, the racial video that came out of him, with, you know, whether they were fake amends or not, whether people really forgave him or not, you know, I mean, he came back, and, you know, I definitely do think that there is room there for CM Punk to, you know, bury any issues that anybody may have, and, you know, a sample that's made more appreciative of what he did have. I mean, it's not great either way in either place, right? Because you have to work for somebody and you have to answer to somebody. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think CM Punk could live. No, let me rephrase. I don't think CM Punk wants that to be his ending. You know, there's a reason why he came back and he did AEW. Like you guys said, it's not because he needed the money. It's not because he needed to work. It's not because he needed the accolades. I think that he wanted to make sure he wrote the right finish for his ending. And it's still, I believe it's still not written. I think there's still a final ending to come. So,
just saying, Survivor Series is in Chicago.
Now, speaking of Chicago, All Out weekend, a week after All In, couple of matches announced, but of course, because it's Chicago, place sells out. Everybody expected CM Punk to be there. I mean, they've been to Chicago like 3 or 4 times, it feels like, since CM Punk has been back. All Out is traditionally in Chicago. No CM Punk. But we get the return of the American Dragon. You know, we were supposed to get, I believe, CM Punk versus Ricky Starks. Obviously, we don't get that. But instead, we got the American Dragon who returned. He was already cleared to come back, but he was supposedly going to take a little longer to return. The whole CM Punk thing said, hey, we needed Bryan Danielson back. So how excited are we that the American Dragon is back and he's not going to be headlining Saturday night on Collision?
It's a strap match, brother. I find it kind of interesting the way they went about it and presented it, though. You know, because Ricky Stark had talked about, you know, he was going to have a match with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, brother. He was going to have a match with Steamboat, and everybody's like, holy crap, is Steamboat really going to wrestle and all this? And then Dragon comes back and says, oh, yeah, you know, there was a, you're right. It did say Dragon on that contract, but it was a different Dragon. It was the American Dragon. I thought that was kind of silly and kind of cool.
The contract does say McMahon.
There you go. It just says another McMahon, yeah. Everything's old as new again, man. I mean, I'm happy he's back, absolutely. You know, thankful that he's healthy and back, and my real hope is a return match with Kazuchika Okada at Wrestle Kingdom. That's my real hope of him coming back. So thankfully he's back in more than enough time to get himself healthy and ready for whatever he may want to do. But that's my hope for him is return match with Okada at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah. Well, you know, we needed somebody to headline Saturday nights. So, who better than Bryan Danielson?
Canyon.
Except for his dad. So, all right. I want to go through this quickly. And then you guys can tell me if anything here stood out to you guys. It stands out. So Adam Cole, MJF defeated the Dark Order again, the opening match, because I guess anytime that they wrestle as a tag team is always in the opening match. Samoa Joe defeated Shane Taylor to retain the ROH World TV title. Luchasaurus defeated Darby Allin, so that Christian Cage can remain the TNT champion. Because apparently that's the thing. Miro defeated Powerhouse Hobbs, and we saw the debut of CJ Perry on the pay-per-view. Chris Statlander defeated Ruby Soho to retain the TBS championship. Bryan Danielson defeated Ricky Starks in the No DQ strap match. The BCC defeated Eddie Kingston and Shibata in tag team match. Konosuke Takeshita defeated Kenny Omega and was my match of the night. Fantastic match. That thing went 30 plus minutes. It was crazy. Bullet Club Gold defeated FTR and the Young Bucks. I was surprised about that one. Moxley defeated Orange Cassidy to become the new AEW International Champion. Weird enough that the International Championship, I don't think, has been defended internationally yet. You would have thought they would have defended it at Wembley, but
officially make it international title. Yeah, that would seem like
that. That's the biggest thing that stuck out to me after I saw. Like, oh yeah, I forgot that this belt existed. I can't wait to see what it gets renamed again, because I feel like this is going to be like that Impact title that got renamed like 10 times. Was it like the King of the Mountain title became the Legends title, became something else? I can't remember.
The Global Championship, and I think it pretty much became ultimately the Digital Media Championship, although that's a brand new belt, but that's kind of the place it holds in the hierarchy of championships.
Yeah. So yeah. Anything sticking out to you guys there from all that? Of course, the women's match, surprisingly not the shortest match of the night this time.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Yeah, that.
That. Well, that, you know, they heard a lot of shit for that. So. And yet again, they had to cut that match short so Paige and her family could go in there and, you know, have their cry fest or what the fuck ever.
Yeah.
Their sports entertainment moment, you know?
Which, one thing that I did not mention last week that I thought was interesting. What was it?
Can't be that interesting if you can't remember it.
Hold on. So we keep having all these like, oh yeah, I forgot. Hangman Page won the over the budget charity battle royal, which I don't know still what that means. Yeah, but yeah, the Acclaim got new tag team belts. They look very pink. Dennis Rodman was in the corner of the Acclaimed.
That motherfucker's NWO. What the fuck's he doing over there? For life, son. For life.
What I don't get is why you bring Dennis Rodman and you use him on the pre-show.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know. I really don't get that.
Yeah, one would think you'd want to put him, you know, in a higher place and tout his appearance a little more, but, you know, that's not the AEW style, brother, okay? We just do shit for the gram and for the shits and gigs and the gift pops and stuff, brother.
Well, it made no sense to me. Yeah. But that was All Out. I guess next is going to be Wrestle Dream.
Wrestle Dream. Okay.
It's right. I guess it's supposed to be another what do you call it?
Money grab
corporation. Another show that's beginning done with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't hear anything about
to pay that. Homage to Antonio Inoki.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I have not heard anything about that. Cool. Okay.
Yeah, it'll be in Seattle, Washington.
Okay. The home of the you know historical home of New Japan Pro Wrestling in America is Seattle, Washington. Just so you remember, just so you know.
Yeah. So yeah. Like most AEW things, nothing has been announced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tickets do go on sale this Friday for anybody that wants to buy tickets to a show that you know who's gonna show up. Yeah.
I mean, WWE is the same shit. Monday Night Raw is coming to your town, and everybody goes, cool, I'm buying tickets. But you don't know who the fuck's going to be there. You have an idea, but you don't really know.
But that's a TV show. That's not a pay-per-view.
They do that with pay-per-views, too. How many did you know last time when you bought tickets for WrestleMania? Did you know any matches for it?
Okay, yeah, WrestleMania.
Absolutely not. Did you know any matches for Royal Rumble when the tickets went on sale? Absolutely not. Tickets go on sale 3 or 4 months before the event happens.
Before the Royal Rumble. It's
the Royal Rumble match was happening. I knew that match.
And there you go. Yeah, but you didn't know who was in it?
30 men and then 30 women.
Mm-hmm. In separate matches.
Yeah, but you didn't know which people, though, is what I'm saying. Is that's the same shit.
All right. You're right.
We've been doing it for years, man.
Full Gear. It's been announced November 18th. Inglewood, California, the Kia Forum. I think I asked this to you, Danny, last week. I wanted to pose this question to you, Eric. And if I did not, I thought of it. But if I didn't ask it, Danny, feel free to also answer. AEW has such a huge gate in Wembley. why don't they try to do bigger stadiums in the U.S.?
Don't know, don't care, fuck AEW.
Because they ain't fucking selling in the U.S., that's the thing. Apart from a handful of markets. Well, that's what we talked about, their weekly shows are, you know, except with a handful of markets are, you know. I mean, they came to Atlanta, and, you know, it was a smaller arena, and they, you know, still didn't get anywhere near close to selling that some bitch out.
Definitely not, no. Yeah. Right.
So that's the reason right there. Because it wouldn't be profitable for them. It's too big of a risk.
Yeah, because I think I heard Tony Khan talk about all these different venues, but they all are like, you know, the subpar venues. They're not.
Yeah.
I think the only big venue he does is the one in Chicago because Chicago.
Yeah. Like you and I kind of mentioned last week too, is that, you know, there may be longer standing relationships between WWE and /UFC now that they're owned by the same parent company that these venues have in place. And they're afraid that if they, you know, host an AEW event, that maybe that it could somehow jeopardize the relationship with companies that are going to fill the fucking arena, you know? Because, of course, a bigger arena means, you know, higher gate for the venue, means more, you know, concessions for the venue, those kind of things. And they can charge more for sponsors during the venue if there's more people there, et cetera, et cetera. So I think a lot of the venues are kind of like, you know, we have wrestling here a couple times a year already, and that's enough.
Yeah. Good point. All right. As predicted, AEW Collision scored its lowest audience to date this past Saturday. Of course, it was going head-to-head against Payback and also
college football, right? Yeah.
Which I think is in the second week or so. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, not having CM Punk, but yeah, 345,000 viewers.
There you go.
Yeah, and I think there were like three different football games going on. Of course, America's favorite pastime baseball is happening, and, you know, we're well into the end of the season where, you know, people are getting ready for October, which, you know, all eyes will be on that. So, did they make a mistake in adding that third show? Trying to treat it like the second show, not treating, the Friday show, which name I can't remember right now.
Rampage.
The ugly stepchild.
I guess time will tell. You know, I mean, Saturday night's always been kind of a weird night for television anyways, because it's typical, you know, historically it's been a night when people go out. They're not sitting at home watching television, which is why Sunday night has worked so well for pay-per-views over the years, and nights during the week, because, you know, you have school the next day, you have work the next day, you're at home. So you're watching TV. You're not necessarily out late like you would on a Friday or Saturday night. So those nights have historically been harder nights for television in general. I mean, remain to be seen if they spread themselves too thin.
And it's not over. I mean, not only do they have college football and the, you know, the Major League Baseball to contend with. I believe back-to-back weekends in a couple of weeks, they're going to be going head-to-head against NXT No Mercy and WWE Fastlane.
Yeah.
Which means, and here's the thing about Saturday nights, right? I can understand where they can come up with, hey, we used to have, you know, Saturday night, you know, WCW Saturday night before. But let's remember, that started at 6:05.
Yeah, that was earlier. That wasn't prime time, quote unquote, at 9 or 8 or 10 or whatever.
Right. And then secondly, they didn't have a gazillion TV shows.
Yeah. You know, you didn't have as many options for television and streaming and all this.
Well, I'm just saying in wrestling programming alone.
Oh, well, that too, yeah.
So Monday night did exist.
Yeah, so it made each week feel like it was, oh, this is the one night a week wrestling comes on. You know, if you want wrestling, right, you got to watch it kind of thing. Very true, exactly.
Eventually, I think by 98, they phased out Saturday night because they realized, you know, it wasn't going to do much. Just like WWE faded out, you know, their morning shows, Mania, Livewire, and then their afternoon show, Superstars, which used to air at 5 o'clock, I think, an hour before WCW Saturday night. So it's kind of like it eventually became a night that was no longer – it wasn't making money. Is Tony Khan so stuck in the traditions of the past that he thinks may work? Is he trying to bank on nostalgia? And is nostalgia – can nostalgia only get him so far?
I mean – like I said, those are longer term things, kind of remain to be seen. We can, you know, it'll be one of those things where we look back and see, you know, what was this the moment kind of things. I don't think we can really do it now, but yeah, we'll go back in the past and look and say, oh yeah, it was kind of when they started doing this that, you know, things took a downturn for them or things took an up in the success, whatever.
Have you guys seen the new WWE collaboration with the NFL?
They're pretty god awful, yeah.
Other people than them being ugly. Funny enough, one belt that the fans will not be able to get their hands on is the Jacksonville Jaguars championship belt.
Yeah.
Tony Khan's father, I guess, decided to pull that from the deal since they're you know, they have a competing wrestling company.
That's also kind of funny too.
I thought that was, I mean, like, okay, sure, you got enough money, you don't need to make the extra money, your fans may not necessarily care. I mean, like, I don't know. Petty, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, yet again, WWE would do the same stuff. Okay, don't act like they wouldn't. It's all business. It's all corporate business stuff.
There's a lot of things that WWE does pettiness. So I'll call that out too when I see it.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, but it is a little bit. But it's, you know, I mean, it's petty business stuff. But quote, you know, competing businesses always do that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. I thought it was funny. I didn't even think about the Jacksonville Jaguars belt until I should have ordered one. It probably wouldn't have been made. It probably would have hit your money.
Yeah, they would have canceled your order, yeah. Because it was up there for only a little bit of time, and then they pulled it. So I assume they canceled orders and just said, okay, well, this product's not available.
Yeah, same day, I believe. Yeah. All right, moving on. WWE Payback.
The bitch.
Becky Lynch defeated Trish Stratus in a steel cage match. Finally, hopefully setting that feud. And I guess Zoe Stark turned babyface.
She still acted heel on Raw.
She just not associated with Trish anymore?
Yeah, she just got tired of fucking with Trish, I guess.
Taking orders from somebody else.
Yeah. Because she challenged Shayna. Shayna beat that ass like Shayna does.
I think Zoe works fairly well as a heel. I think she carries herself well in that role to where she feels kind of like this smug, tough girl, you know, who wants to go out and prove herself kind of thing.
She's got a lot of traction backstage too. Apparently the people have been loving what she's got.
Athletically she's fantastic. It's just, you know what? That's what we saw in NXT when she first started. We were like, wow, you know, like everybody was impressed by that, but it's like, okay, how do you develop that into more, you know, into a reason for people to watch and pay attention to you? And I think she's starting to make that way, you know, and working in a feud, you know, albeit a smaller capacity with essentially two of the greatest women's wrestlers that WWE's ever produced, you know, has to be a huge learning experience for her, but also has to be one of those things like, if they're willing to put you in that position, that means that they have very high hopes for you. And they believe that you'll take that role and you'll succeed in it. So that just putting her in that role to start, you know, seems like management's already very high on where she could go. So now that she's broken away, you know, let's see her continue to develop and see how she grows as a performer.
And she's done very good in her role as the, I guess she would be like the heater for Trish, because she was always the one getting knocked out, getting knocked down, doing all the heavy lifting and all that. So, yeah. I mean, she's done well. And her promos aren't terrible, but I mean, they need.
I think the key thing is they're developing. They're getting better.
Yeah.
Instead of just kind of staying flat across the board.
How many guys cut shitty promos all the damn time and still get all the pushes? So, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
It is what it is. I love Zoe. I think she's fantastic in the ring. And I think we're looking at a future women's world champion.
Maybe sooner
rather than later.
Okay.
Because like I said, she's got backstage behind her, apparently. They apparently love her.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the best things you can have.
Exactly.
You know, people believing in you, yeah. Giving you those opportunities and those chances.
All right. Second match. It's only a six.
Trish got the shit beat out of her in that match. Like, holy crap.
It was an old school heel whooping. You know, you finally get the heel one-on-one and you whip them pillar to post.
Her arms were bruised to hell and back. She had a big old goose egg in the front of her head. Like,
There was a little bit of, she was a little bloody, got a little bloody at some point too.
Yeah. Like, she, that
was hard way or not. Yeah.
Props to her, because she sure as shit didn't have to.
Didn't have to go that fucking hard, but that's just, you know, I mean, that's the kind of performer she's always been. I mean, remember, she used to constantly get thrown over the top rope to the floor while trying to do the Stratisfaction and stuff. And that was a bump she had no means to really take. She didn't have to do that. They could have just, like, pushed her into the ropes or slammed her in the ring or something. Yep. She was like, oh, yeah, throw me over the fuck to the ground. Like, what? She did that countless times and all kinds of other things. So I think it's just her work ethic.
That's why she's a legend.
And wasn't she one of the first women that got put through the table by the Dudleys?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, maybe. And that's, you know, that's one move that's like, you know, not pretty to take. And she took it like a champ.
It was fairly, I mean, Bubba made it fairly easy. He broke the table himself. Oh,
yeah,
no,
for sure. Yeah,
His fat ass sat at the table and broke it.
Bubba Ray is definitely a pro, but, you know, still to be willing to go through all those tables and take that chance and have that trust.
Yeah.
Just, you know, she's always been, you know, willing to do the work no matter what. So, you know, she definitely proved herself. And I feel like, I don't know if she felt like, I wonder if she ever felt like she had to go the extra mile to prove herself just to show that she was just more than eye candy.
I think it was probably a lot of that, yeah.
Yeah. At the beginning, right? She had like, because she was brought in, sort of like as a model.
As a valet right off the bat, yeah.
Valet, and, you know, it's just like, okay, well, how can you take that seriously? Especially when compared to China, right? You got China, who's like always been this like, beastful kind of like character. It's like, okay, and then now you have this pretty face. Can she really wrestle? And she proved she could. You know that she cemented her legacy as one of the greatest women wrestlers of all times. And it's really so. So yeah, kudos for her. Next match. L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
Defeated The Miz. 15 minutes. John Cena was the special guest referee for this one. I will say this. Of everything that's been happening in Hollywood, the strikes and everything, I'm grateful that that is giving us John Cena for the next 2 months. So
might be longer.
Could be longer. Right now he's only committed to 8 weeks. But who knows how much longer
Strite looks like after that.
Exactly. Maybe he'll reassess again in 2 months. But yeah, that Strite doesn't seem to be going to be ending anytime soon. So yeah, John Cena doesn't have anything to do in Hollywood, so here he comes, host of Payback and special guest referee. LA Knight rightfully taking the win. I thought it was a fairly good match, and it did what it was supposed to for LA Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I talked about last week in my predictions. I said, LA Knight needs a big win against a credible opponent, and Miz is more than happy to do what is asked of him in the world of sports entertainment. If it's put somebody over, he will absolutely make that person look like $1 million.
Miz, the first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, because he's the greatest sports entertainer they've ever had. Doesn't make him a good professional wrestler, but he's an amazing sports entertainer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And if Cockerbie Ware can make it into the Hall of Fame, anybody can.
And I mean, he is the first ever 2-time Grand Slam champion, so.
Yeah, his record of what he's accomplished in World Wrestling Entertainment is, half of that is more than enough to get him into the Hall of Fame as far as
what's there. There's absolutely no doubt he is a shoo-in.
Yeah.
Is he a headliner?
Potentially, yeah. Depends what year and how long has passed.
I didn't realize he had been in the company for almost 20 years.
I mean, that's insane to think about. Yeah, because he was in I guess it was second wave of the WWE CW when they started using the young guys and kind of phased out Sandman, Sabu, and those guys.
Yeah, because he signed in late 05, early 06.
Yeah, because he did the Real World, I think, in 2000.
And then Tough Enough in 04.
Yeah, I spent the first few years after doing like the challenge, and then that's when he went.
Working on the fucking indie scene, because when he was on Real World, he was already like calling himself The Miz and all that shit, and saying he was a wrestler. So he had already been at least training or some, in some capacity.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean that was always his alter ego. Yeah, but absolutely, I definitely think. Now, will he make it into the, Dan Gable Hall of Fame? I don't know. The National Wrestling Hall of Fame?
No, that's what I'm saying. He's not a professional wrestler. He's a sports entertainer. And he's the greatest sports entertainer there's ever been, because he's literally done everything ever asked of him. He's hit it out of the ballpark. Every stupid fucking role, everything they've ever asked him to do, he's made work in any capacity, okay?
I think this
to the point where he gets his own reality show and all this. He's
the most I've ever heard you praise him.
Nah, I've put him over before. I've called him the greatest sports entertainer of all time.
I don't enjoy his stuff. I don't enjoy his style of wrestling. Nobody's ever said, hey, you know, that was a really good Miz match. You know, Miz's matches are really good. There's never going to be a greatest matches compilation of the Miz. But there could be great moments and segments and highlight videos and all this stuff. But he's not – he does everything else to make the match feel like it's important when it's happening. Fair. And the build-up to the match. But the match itself is meaningless. The match itself is very bland, is very generic, you know, chin locks, and he's got his double axe handle off the top and all these kind of things, you know. Nothing spectacular about what he does, but he does what he does exactly what he's supposed to do, and he does it well.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. He's been at the top of the card, he's been at the bottom of the card, and everywhere in between. Like you said, he's a two-time Grand Slam champion, which means he's held every single title that he could hold two times over. You know,
there's nothing he'll say no to.
That's what I'm saying. He's 100% a company dude. He'll do anything to help move that company, to help move it along and help everybody succeed.
I know that, like, theoretically, Roman is like the guy of the company, but anytime that they need Miz to do something, 100% Miz is down. You need him on Fallon, he's there. You need him at
and he knocks that shit out of the park too.
He turns up
the fucking charm, and he goes out there and he makes everybody, you know, and he does what he's supposed to. He makes people love him. He makes people like him and want to see him do more, you know, which is essentially, in theory, you know, you're supposed to want to see him turn on the wrestling show to see him perform there too.
Yep. And he does a damn good job at it. So, I mean, yeah, that all good points. Good points. Mm-hmm. But LA Knight got put over, and yep. LA Knight should have been put over. Point blank.
Yet again, The Miz did what he was supposed to do for the betterment of the business. LA Knight's a guy who's hot. But LA Knight's had a lot of losses. So he needed a big win over a credible opponent, and Miz can be that for him, and was.
Yep.
100%. Now is to see what everybody does with this momentum he gets, with the rub. The Miz rub, brother.
Yeah.
That shit Miz did Monday night was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, the one with John Cena.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I loved it. I mean, it was funny at first when the cameraman started moving around to the spots to Cena would have gone.
It was Cena's whole fucking entrance just without Cena.
I'm like, kudos to this guy. He's just running around following John Cena. Obviously, nobody could see him. He was there.
See, that's what I'm saying. You guys are talking about that and not the quality of Miz's matches. Okay, see, that's my point right there, too. He's sports entertaining.
Miz is never going to put out a 5-star match, but I mean.
No, he doesn't intend to. He realizes that's not his strength. That's not the type of performer he is, yeah.
Yeah.
He'll do everything asked of him. Yeah.
But I don't know. If he was in the Tokyo Dome, they might give him 5 stars.
Probably not, no.
5-star matches are overrated anyway because Kurt Angle is the greatest wrestler of all time and has 0.
He's never had one in the Tokyo Dome. That's
why. He did have matches in the Tokyo Dome. He's a former IWGP champion.
Oh, you're right.
He lost the belt to Brock Lesnar when they were doing that whole weird split with the company and everything. And then Brock was like the fake champion and Nakamura was the real champion.
I like to forget a lot about that part.
Old Bork Laser.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up, Rey Mysterio defeated Austin Theory to retain the United States Championship.
I'm gonna be honest. I skipped this match. Was it worth watching?
I will be honest. I fell asleep through this match. So,
So apparently not. There you go.
There's my answer.
There's the answer.
I don't like Theory, and I'm tired of watching Rey Mysterio at this point.
I literally woke up to the Judgment, to Sami Zayn's entrance music.
That was my alarm for a little bit of time at some point.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Judgment Day defeated Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to win the Undisputed Tag Team titles in a Steel City street fight. I think he still is hurt.
Okay. Because the whole like the whole time I was thinking, I was like, that's kind of, it was a big ass build, and then it kind of went nowhere.
Yeah.
For KO and Sammy.
Well, yeah, he was hurt. He was out for a while. That's why, like, he made his comeback like 2 weeks ago, and then
he got hard weighed.
He hasn't done a, at least to me, he just doesn't like he's done a lot since. So I definitely think
he's probably still trying to work through it. Maybe at least to drop the belts, and then he can take a less physical role. Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, he wasn't there this Monday either. So
when they got thrown over the hockey barricade and then came back, and he's just like crimson faced, like shit's funny. It was a good match. Like, kudos. I had never thought a company would get me to care about Damian Priest, but I'm actually invested in his character.
I still am not. I can't wait for it to be over. But this is a great way to continue to tell the story. You know? I mean, listen, 10 years ago, WWE, this Judgment Day, this Finn Balor, Damian Priest thing would have been done like 2 months ago. But hey, they're learning how to, you know, give people longer storylines.
Well, I think the Judgment Day and like in both incarnations have done what it was set out to do. Edge's version was to prop up people that weren't really getting, you know, looked at, and it propped up Rhea to a mega star. It put Finn back in the limelight. It put Damian in the limelight, and then now this new incarnation has made Rhea even more of a star, and has made Dom Dom a fucking star. Like,
By the way, we only recognize Mr. Balor now as Grand Slam Finn. Grand Slam Finn.
I like Finn Balor, but I ain't calling him that shit.
But
no, so how cool it is though that he did join the Grand Slam family.
Well, good for him. But we're not gonna go around and call it Grand Slam Miz and Grand Slam Seth Rollins. Could you imagine if we had to call him Grand Slam Seth freaking Rollins? That's such a mouthful.
It is.
But yeah, no, it's got Dominic over. Like, is Dominic might be the top heel of the company at this point. Like,
with the reactions he gets, absolutely.
Because it's pretty much like an almost complete
boo,
you know, crowd against him versus so many of the heels. They do good heel work, but fans like and appreciate and respect them. Fans do not, like 97% of the fans absolutely do not like or respect him. They hate him. They think he's a POS. They think he's only there because his dad's a famous wrestler. Like, all the reasons that you're supposed to hate him, they completely buy into it.
Yeah. And even more than that, I think that they've learned to hate the character that has become Dom Dom. And this is not by any means go away heat. This is just they hate this character that he has become.
There's no such thing as go away heat. That's a myth. Okay.
No, there is such a thing.
Go away heat is heat. Okay. The whole purpose, if you remember, let's talk about wrestling back in the day and in the early days. Okay. A bad guy would come out. The way to make him go away was to have a good guy come out and hit him in the mouth and make him leave.
Yeah.
You know, the guy sitting here talking a big game, prove him a liar, laugh in his face, and then make him leave. That's that you wanted him to go away, but you had to have somebody make him go away for you. He wasn't just going to leave the ring on his own accord. If he goes in there and he wins, then no, he's not going to shut up. He's going to talk even more. That's heat. That's what heat is.
Yep.
Heat is go away heat because you're supposed to not want to see this character so that you want to see somebody else give this character their comeuppance. That's the whole structure of professional wrestling. Somewhere over the line with, you know, with the Freebirds and then the Bullet Club and these kind of things, the thought of it kind of changed, and the business has the business model has changed ever since then.
The whole X-Pac go away heat is where I think it kind of started. Mm. But I mean,
well, like, that's where the terminology started, because people were just bored by him because his character was stagnant. It wasn't going anywhere.
But you got to think about it, though. If okay, I'm Dom Dom. I walk out and an entire arena is straight up viciously booing my ass. There is 20,000 people.
That means you've done your fucking job.
Exactly. If I walk out and that crowd goes,
yay, this guy, we like him, he's cool. Like, they're not supposed to think that at this point. Or,
no. I mean, like, if Dominic Mysterio, and the crowd's just like, silence. No, you're not doing your job right.
Well, that's not even heat. That's no reaction. No exactly. Reaction is not the same as heat.
If you get 20,000 people booing your ass, you're doing something right. Point blank. Period. It's not go away heat.
If you get people to heat. If you get people to give a shit,
they care.
It's heat or it's a pop.
Exactly.
If there's no reaction, then that's no heat. There's no such thing as go away heat. Exactly. If they're booing you to go away, then that's heat. If they sit on their hands or stand up and walk and go to the concession stand when you come out because they absolutely do not want to see you and they don't give a shit about you,
you've done something
that's
wrong.
Where you're failing. Yeah,
exactly. So all this go away heat that they're talking about for Dom, it's the dumbest thing ever. It's just heat. He literally made them care so much that they all hate his fucking guts.
They spend their time and energy to viciously tell him how much they don't like him and make signs saying that they don't like him. And
exactly. I was going to say, I've seen signs that say, I bought this ticket to boo Dom. Like, well, shit, you're doing something right then.
Yep. If they paid to come see you, regardless, you know, do your job, which his job is to not be liked, then you fucking succeeded.
A plus. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how he was going to
into WWE, like even in general, like when he started his smiley baby face with Ray, and everybody was kind of like, seems forced, man. It doesn't feel like that's authentically him. I think this is something that he's been able to kind of have a hand in creating to an extent, and so I think he feels like it's more something that he can control rather than just like, look at me, here's my dad, look at me, here's my dad, you know, like
a lot better too, because he stopped trying to be a fucking Rey Mysterio clone. He's not doing the lucha shit as much as he was.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
he's gotten really good.
He's understood this and he's cultivated it with the help of others, and he's made it his own. And that's where it succeeds. You know, whenever you're able to kind of make something your own and blend it in, it feels more authentic and people believe it more. People want to believe it more.
Precisely. But yeah, yay Judgment Day.
Yeah, so
they're doing their fucking job, absolutely.
And they got almost all the belts,
all but one.
Tag team titles, women's title, and North American title.
I guess all but two. They still need the Intercontinental as well.
And of course, they also have the Money in the Bank briefcase. New customized briefcase for Damian Priest
in the Judgment Day colors.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, we had the segment that's called something, the Grayson Waller Effect.
There you go.
Cody Rhodes was the guest. Well, we get a shocker. Jey Uso is back in WWE, and he is a member of the Raw roster, and that pop was insane.
Building Jey. They are straight up building Jey.
I mean, they've done build up. I mean, that reaction was huge. I loved the cameras all spread through all the arena just to show everybody, like when he was doing his thing with the hand, the arm up and down, and the whole entire arena was going crazy along with him. I was like, wow. All right. I mean, I knew they were trying to build him. Right. And you know, they're trying to do a thing, but just seeing him separate from the bloodline and see the reaction he got was just It was great.
I told y'all in January-ish that this was Jey Uso's story. And I legitimately think that they have built him up to be a main eventer.
I mean, main event Jey, right?
Like, for a while, that was just kind of a moniker. Like, he wasn't really main eventing anything after he got finished with, the storyline with Roman. And then he was just main event Jey Uso on the third match of the show. But, like, I legitimately think they have built him up to almost to a main event level. And it is crazy to think about, because I would have never in my life thought that I would watch the Usos as singles competitors and be interested in them. But good God, this last like year, I don't know what the hell has happened. They flipped a switch somewhere, because Jimmy is very entertaining. I don't think he's going to be as entertaining as Jey, but Jey is like a top player in WWE right now. And that's insane to me.
I mean, that's how you build a guy organically, right?
Yeah, 100%.
That, because he had to be organic. It was no like push, like the push, you know, I mean.
They didn't Roman him.
Exactly.
They didn't push him down our throats until we absolutely hated his fucking guts. They let it build, and that's the way it should be done. Granted, I get you can't, like, there's over 200 employees on that roster. You can't slow build everybody. You can't slow burn everything. But this whole story, this 3-year storyline, it culminated in, I would say, 5 main eventers? Not even looking at Roman. Like, Sammy.
Yeah.
Bonafide main eventer. Kevin, bonafide main eventer. Yeah. Jey, bonafide main eventer. Solo is getting there too. The reactions that Solo gets, main event reactions, and then Jimmy TBD.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm just looking at the Raw roster and I'm thinking they got Rollins.
That Raw roster stacked.
Cody.
Well, there's a
Drew,
rumor.
Drew McIntyre, Finn, Gunther, Jey, Gable.
Don't
Owens.
Don't sleep on Gable.
Well, I'm talking like main event level.
Hey,
Kevin Owens.
These pops that Gable's been getting, he's getting there.
Sami Zayn. You know, it's just, and look, they're rebuilding Shinsuke. Look at what they do with him. You know, I mean, one way I thought, like, okay, he is done. He's not going to just become a joke character on the mid card. Out of nowhere, he's this, you know,
killer,
terrible, evil, you know, challenger for the title.
I sent Danny that promo that he cut on Seth in Japanese, where he was talking about watching his back. That's some of the best stuff that I've seen from Shinsuke in WWE, hands down.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a hugely stacked roster of guy. Any of those guys, I mean, could main event a pay-per-view.
Until Cody moves to SmackDown, because I think that's what's about to happen.
I mean, SmackDown needs, especially with, you know, Roman Reigns, you know, being quote unquote part time. They lost Edge. Let's see who can be a big main eventer. You got AJ. You can bring back. Bobby Lashley's always there to plug in. I think Karrion Kross is a lost cause.
LA Knight.
LA Knight. He's getting there.
I think he's going to be behind Roman.
I think Sheamus. You know,
for one last run,
I can see him. Don't get another one.
Montez Ford. We could finally do that push, but
yeah,
seems now, like we're doing
the one asterisk that I'm not sure that, I mean, I'm 100% behind this guy. I'm not sure what is it that's just keeping him from getting to the next level. Santos Escobar.
I don't know.
Because I feel like he lose like $1 million. He looked fantastic on NXT and ready to take it to the next level. But he came in. Is it maybe because he's just behind Ray and the LWO?
I just don't know if he has the charisma to be a top guy. That's my problem. I love him. I just don't know if he can charismatically keep up.
I mean, the group seemed too small to be bad guys. They became good guys, but it's all behind LWO, and I don't know if people really care about that. God.
I didn't realize how weak the SmackDown roster actually was.
I mean, hey, they
Raw's always, you know, historically had more people, you know, bigger names on it because it's Vince's baby. It's what won the Monday Night Wars, and you know.
But I mean, look, it's weak.
Southern Empire and all that stuff.
You have John Cena and Roman Reigns on the roster, and it still looks weak.
Now the women's division straight up blows Raw's women's division out of the water.
Yeah, 100%.
But just in terms of like main event men, AJ Lashley, Cena while he's here, they're still trying to get LA Knight there. Ray can be a plug and play. Sheamus can be a plug and play. But other than that, it's. And wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. SmackDown historically has been the show where guys go to break out to become main eventers. You know, I mean, that's, you know, you think about the SmackDown 6 and all those kind of stuff. That was it. Those guys were not main event level at the time. But through the work that they put on, the matches they had, you know, the feuds and rivalries they had, they made themselves into main event players.
Speaking of maybe rosters, where the fuck is Dolph Ziggler?
Dolph Ziggler is he's a free agent.
Well, I know that, but he hasn't been on television in like months.
I don't know. I mean, he's not injured from where.
Give me my dude back, Jesus.
Now, I wouldn't be surprised if the next time Brock Lesnar comes back, he's on SmackDown picking a fight there.
Really?
I would be, because they've stretched Brock and Roman as far as they can stretch Brock.
Well, I think they can do something different with Brock and actually.
With who? He's already done it with Roman. He's already done it with Lashley. He's already
done it with Cross.
Cena. That's not a money making feud.
It's not about making money. It's just about getting Brock Lesnar on TV.
Would LA Knight and Brock be interesting?
No, but Brock Lesnar versus Sheamus would be very interesting.
Yeah, that could be interesting, actually.
Brock's chest would turn media red real quick.
I still want Brock Lesnar and Walter, or Gunther.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be a banger.
But yeah. I'm not sure where they're going with all these guys, but yeah, I'm not sure where Dolph has been. Probably hanging out with Elias.
Yeah, nobody cares about Elias though.
Nobody cares about where that guy's been.
Speaking of the roster, fucking Akam and Razor, huh?
I know, right? They haven't.
they've apparently been. So weird, right? They've apparently been on the. Apparently on the payroll or the roster, at least. I mean, they might not be making anything. It might be a per appearance deal or something, but they've apparently been on the roster for a long time.
Yeah.
Not being used. That's strange as anything.
Said apparently that they were cited in at the PC with Ellering again. So
okay.
We'll see. That's what fucked him up on the main roster when they took Paul away from him.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Because nobody gave a shit about Drake Maverick. Let's be for real.
Yeah.
But, well, he didn't fit with them.
And that's what I mean. Like, I like Drake as a performer, but he just didn't fit with that.
Yeah. It was supposed to be like silly to see him, you know, slap on the vest and all this kind of stuff. But like, that was a very weak joke, and it outstayed its welcome.
100%. Yep. 100%.
All right, back to Payback. Rhea Ripley defeated Raquel Rodriguez to retain the Women's World Championship.
Good.
17 minutes. I mean, no offense, but for a women's match, they got a lot of time.
This is a good match.
It was a good one, too. So good. They're doing it again. I think next Monday.
We got to give Raquel a gimmick. Because I make my back smile is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Because when she was Big Mommy Cool in NXT, she was killing it. When she actually had direction. But I don't buy Raquel as a big smiley baby face.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I mean, she shouldn't be. But, yeah. Main event, Seth Rollins defeated Shinsuke Nakamura, 26 minutes to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. Great match here. Probably my match of the night.
I honestly thought they were going to put the title on Shin.
I mean, not too late, because they looks like they're going to do the run it back again. You know, after Shinsuke attacked Rollins.
I think that'll be where Nakamura, or not Nakamura, where Priest cashes in.
You think? Yeah, I could see that happen. But yeah, pretty darn good show. Payback. You know, it's all about the Judgment Day. Judgment Day was stood tall.
As they should.
Yeah. Next online is the Fast Lane, October 7th. Indianapolis, Indiana. Apparently, there is going to be a show in India this weekend, but it's not going to be on the network or Peacock. This is considered a house show for India. John Cena is going to be teaming up with Seth Rollins. To face Imperium. First time that John Cena is going to be wrestling in India in his illustrious career. Hopefully we'll eventually get to watch it. I think that they did this show, 2 years ago? They were supposed to go to India, but then the pandemic happened. So they ended up taping the show in the Performance Center and airing it in India and everywhere else. This one, though, is not going to be aired live. It's not considered a PLE. It's just a shame. But, yeah. All right. And Gunther now, I guess, as of 2 days from now, officially the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time. I'm sorry to the honky tonk man. He will no longer be able to use that claim.
It's crazy that he ever had that claim.
He can't say that he's the greatest of all time, though, because he can sing, he can dance, and he can play the guitar. And personally, I don't think Gunther can really do any of those things.
You don't know that.
That's why I said I don't think he can. I don't know for a fact, but, you know, I don't think he could sing and dance and play the guitar like that.
He might be the greatest guitarist and singer of all time.
Nobody's ever heard of him.
My money is that he plays a cello. He looks like a cello guy to me.
Maybe a ballroom dancer. But you can't ballroom dance to rock and roll, brother.
Not with that attitude.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But, I mean, let's talk about Gunther. I mean, we've seen how WWE has booked big foreign guys in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Not always taking the most seriously, eventually becoming some type of joke character. Stuck in the mid card.
Vladimir calls Hunter, love anyway.
However, has turned it around and gone the opposite way and skyrocketed to one of the biggest stars. And he even has said that most of his success has been as Gunther rather than Walter.
Yeah, right. Walter got him to dance. Gunther made him a star.
Yep.
Because they were asking about the name change, because you know, everybody has problems with name change. I'm like, the man does not care what name he's using. He's making the most money he's ever probably made. And he is, you know, he's in the history books.
Probably, honestly.
Huh?
I said, I don't think that's a probably. I think he is making more money than he's ever made before.
Nah, so.
Unless Progress was paying that man a lot of money.
I mean, I can't come that he came in cheap anywhere, but I got to imagine at event, you know, they were some, you know, discount prices at some point, some places. It's the reason why he, for a long time, never wanted to leave. You know, his home base and stuff like that. But he softened that stance, and look at him now. I mean, that I can't wait to see when he eventually progresses over to the next step, and you know, it's, you know, the next big heel in the WWE. Mm-hmm. And when he is, It's gonna be amazing. I'm looking forward to his championship run as world heavyweight champion or universal champion, whichever belt he has.
I think it'll come in the next year, more than likely.
Yeah, could he be a contender to win the Royal Rumble?
I think that's Cody's.
You think so?
Yeah.
Think he's gonna run it back?
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely think that Gunther, you'd have to put, you know, based on, you know, his reign as champion, I think you have to put him as definitely
100%, yeah,
like top person to win it. But if he does it, I don't know. But I mean, I think he's definitely going to have a strong run and probably this year as well.
I agree. I actually think the final two could end up being Gunther and Cody again, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's definitely possible.
Would it be a boring Rumble? Maybe. The Royal Rumbles aren't really boring, though. I don't know if it would disappoint people, but is this how we get the Cody Roman part two? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe Gunther does win and challenges whoever holds the World Heavyweight title.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. I think there's a lot of directions they can go at this Royal Rumble, thankfully.
Yeah.
Because usually it's one of those, you know, oh, I know exactly who's going to win it, and it sucks kind of deal. Like, not it sucks, but it sucks, I mean, to know who's going to win it pretty much automatically.
But you have so many options this year. You know, exactly. I mean, Jey Uso could win it. Cody could win it. Gunther could win it. You know, I mean, do you want to revisit Sammy? And Sammy could win it.
CM Punk could win it.
Yeah, I mean, one person who may not win it, Von Wagner, after he almost got killed on Tuesday night by Braun Breaker.
That's interesting. I didn't know he was still alive or around.
Yeah, he's I thought he got drafted to the main roster, but I guess not. So they did a thing with where Braun Breaker slammed steel steps on his head, and then they cut it to black, and then back, and then they took him out of a stretcher and covered his face with, looked like towels or something. And
yeah, to be fair, his face does probably need to be covered.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
He's an ugly son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I don't really have much to write home about, but I'm not on TV every week.
Yeah. Well, neither is he, but...
That's fair.
I hope he's okay. I hope that this was storylined and not
Braun Breaker actually tried to murder him.
Right, because the way they played it off to look like was bad. So, yeah. So hopefully all is good. I mean, after all, he is a second generation wrestler. You want to root for those. So
he is. Who's the first generation?
Wayne Bloom.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
Also known as Bo Beverly. Yeah. Of course, Braun Breaker, second generation as well. What do you do with Braun at this point? I mean, I figured they would have moved him over to the main roster by now, but he's content just beating up people in NXT.
Maybe eventually. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Did he seem to lose some steam after the stuff that his dad did last year?
I don't think so, because he pretty much immediately got ahead of that and was like, yo, that's just my dad's point of view. Like, that is not me.
Oh, he did. Oh, well, good on him.
Yeah, he immediately got ahead of that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, the way that they have him, it's, I think, you know, hey, he's definitely fit to fit the WWE mold in the main roster. I'm glad that they're not rushing him. You know,
he's just also so bland,
and that's probably what they want to see. They probably see some
angry and intense. Ah, you know, like that's his whole character, but. That can only get you so far, yeah.
Not in a Scott Steiner way.
No.
Yeah. Coming up, we have September 30th from Bakersfield, California, No Mercy. Sorry, Diddy, again. No Hogs Wild. I mean, it's still happening later. I think it just passed. So I think the next one is in less than 340 days. You can always rent yourself a bike and go to Sturgis.
Yeah.
So
make my own hog wild.
Exactly. Yeah, but I don't want to hear about you making your hog wild. Please, no, don't. All right, so let's see what we got. British Rounds Rules match for the NXT Heritage Cup. Noam Dar versus the Global Heritage Invitational winner, which they're currently having in NXT. They have this Invitational with people from representing all these different countries. So you got Butch, Axiom, Charlie Dempsey, Tyler Bate, Joe Coffey, Duke Hudson, Nathan Frazier, and Akira Tozawa.
A lot of people I kind of forgot were on the roster.
Yeah.
Who's representing America?
Charlie Dempsey.
Who?
That's William Regal's kid.
That's William Regal's son, yeah.
He should be representing England, not America. How are you kidding
me? No, he's representing America. Charlie Dempsey was born in America.
But his dad's from another country. Half the time when they in the CWC, people were repping where their parents were from, not where they're from.
Noam Dar did not represent Scotland in the CWC, if you remember correctly. He represented Israel, where his family's from, not where he grew up and lived.
Yeah.
It's just whatever it takes to get on the show, I guess.
We already have two people representing England, in Butch and Tyler Bate, so we can have a third one. Axiom, of course, representing the Kingdom of Spain. Joe Coffey representing Scotland. Why is Duke Hudson representing the Commonwealth of Australia. Nathan Frazier is representing Jersey, which apparently it's its own country.
Well, yeah, there was a Jersey before a New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why there's a New Jersey.
And Akira Tosawa, of course, representing Japan. The winner of each block will face each other, and then the winner of that will face off against Noam Dar and No Mercy. Dirty Dom will be defending the NXT North American Championship against Mustafa Ali. And Carmelo Hayes will be defending the NXT Championship against the winner of Ilja Dragunov versus Wesley. I think it's happening this Tuesday. So, assuming Ilja is the one that wins it and they have the rematch, does Carmelo go 2-0 or does Ilja beat him and they go for the rubber match? 2-0. Okay.
Melo don't miss.
What do you think, Danny?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a hard one. I'm ready to see Ilja get to the next level, come to the main roster, and have No Mercy there. All right. What was the last thing I had here on my notes? Nope. Talked about that. All right. So, okay. Here's the thought. In the NWA, EC3 defeated Tyrus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tyrus is his name. For the championship, the World Heavyweight Championship, and Tyrus is now retired.
Yeah. Apparently, when he if he lost, he was going to retire or something. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
The world lost a great wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Terry Funk died that week, yep.
Mm-hmm. This world is a little bit less funky. How long does he stay retired?
Hopefully forever.
Yeah, hopefully he just decides never to wrestle again. If you've seen any of his recent matches, he's pretty fucking terrible.
Any of his older matches, he's pretty fucking terrible.
Yeah, but at least they weren't trying to push him into 20 plus minute main events or whatever.
That's fair.
Because he gasses out after about 8, brother.
Yeah, no, I don't think I watched a single match of his since he left.
The Funkasaurus days or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody call my mama.
Yeah. So we briefly talked about this last week as well. Let's end this on this. Actually, no, two things. First of all, apparently Kevin Kelly is going to be doing less shows, stepping away from commentary.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So apparently he went on Twitter and said that he goes, at some point I am leaving it. Well, he didn't say he was leaving. He was like, somebody says, like, was he leaving? He goes, I am at some point, but I'll leave it to New Japan to announce it or not. I plan on calling Destruction and Wrestle Kingdom New Year's Dash. My wife of 32 years says she doesn't want to be alone anymore. So that's why I made the decision.
Yeah.
So, yeah. After doing a great job this past summer with the G1, he's done stepping down and doing less shows.
I'm curious as to what they're going to do and who is it just going to be. I mean, Charlton doesn't even go on the road shows. Charlton only does Tokyo shows.
Oh, really? He doesn't do the other ones?
He does very few of the other ones. Kevin did most of the G1 road shows by himself.
Oh, did he?
Because Rocky's been doing more stuff in Mexico and at the LA Dojo and stuff.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, who replaces him? I've heard some people on the interwebs mention what's that announcer that tied the one that was doing the Evolve shows? His name escapes me.
What were you talking about?
The lead commentator that did Evolve.
Lenny Leonard?
Lenny Leonard, yeah.
I thought Lenny kind of retired too, though.
Because I don't think he had anywhere to go.
Well, no, but it ain't like he was trying, though, I don't think. I think he kind of realized, this is it. And it's not like he was going to go kind of slum it or whatever.
Yeah. But if New Japan comes calling, he should be wise to listen to him if he's interested. I don't know. I don't know who could replace Kevin Kelly.
That's what I'm saying. He's an amazing wealth of knowledge. He does great with any number of partners as well as by himself. I think he and Chris make a great – he and Chris Charlton are an amazing duo because Charlton provides a lot more of the historical and cultural as well as translation. And Kevin knows a fair share of that, having lived in Japan while working for so long. But there's still a lot, that – So I think it's going to be a difficult lock for somebody to fill,
I mean, there's also Ian Riccone,
Riccaboni. He does ROH. I don't know if he's going to be he's got a family and young kids too. I don't know if he wants to go to Japan for a month at a time to do big tours like the Best Super Juniors or the G1 or World Tag League or whatever.
Right. I mean, it's a lot. It's definitely a lot.
It's me. I'm going to do it.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like Kevin's been kind of training a replacement. I mean, he essentially trained Riccaboni to be his replacement for Ring of Honor. So it's not like he's had somebody like that.
I figure you might be it.
It's me.
It was always you all along, wasn't it?
It was.
Were you also supposed to be the real third man?
No. I just played coy with the New Japan for the last 2 years because Kevin Kelly has told me that I can't, reveal the secret that I'm going to be the next commentator. So now that the cat's out of the bag, yeehaw.
Yeah. All right. Impact 1000. Are you guys watching?
Yep.
Let's see here. Alex Shelley versus Trey Miguel for the Impact World Championship. I still don't know who's going to be the Ultimate X match. Should be fun. Don't know who's going to be the Feast of Fire match. That should be fun. Frankie Kazarian versus and Tracy Brooks versus Eddie Edwards and Alicia Edwards. Kongo Kong, Gail Kim, Trinity, Jordan Grace, and someone else to be announced versus Angelina Love, Deonna Purrazzo, Giselle Shaw, Savannah Evans, and another person to be announced.
That other person to be announced should be Velvet Sky. I mean,
she's already announced to be in Angelina's corner.
Oh, interesting.
So she's not wrestling. Okay. She's shown on the graphic for the match. It's kind of the managerial role.
Kind of like Raisha Saeed is for Kong. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Sense. If you look at it like that, she's kind of in the background behind that person. So that makes I don't sense. Know if okay. she's just decided she's not going to wrestle. I don't know if there's, you know,
I think, maybe she's. Did she get hurt like where she's not able to wrestle anymore?
Look, Lord only knows. Mm. I don't know.
It's clearly going to be Mercedes Moné.
Yeah. Team 3D will be facing against unknown opponents.
I thought D-Von was like
done.
Yeah, like I thought he was still working for WWE, and B, like I thought his whole body was like fused together.
I mean, well, I don't imagine he's gonna go in there and take a fuck ton of bumps.
Well, I mean, they're going to hit a 3D, and he's going to have to bump there.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know,
maybe he's got a way where he can kind of lift and toss and kind of do a soft bump on it.
That's fair.
Right.
But is he not still under WWE contract?
Don't know.
Not that I know of. I thought he left a while ago.
Did he? No, I guess I just missed that.
He left quietly, I think.
Good for D-Von. I also thought they hated each other, so.
Well, I mean, they have their wrestling school together, don't they?
That's been gone for quite some time, my friend.
Yeah, Team 3D hadn't been a thing for a while.
Yeah. D-Von has his own school with his sons, and Bubba's pretty much mostly just focusing on
Busted Open,
and you know, then wrestling here and there. Yeah. Wherever that'll hire him for a stint.
Well, he's been wrestling mostly in Impact lately, right? He made a comeback.
Yeah, more recently,
With the PCO. Not long ago. D-Von announced that he left the league January 19th. Hmm. Yeah.
Good for D-Von. Get one last payday.
And Jake Something versus Dirty Dango. It's also a match. So
it'll be interesting.
Who thought we made it to 1,000 shows for Impact?
I would.
They're the little engine that fucking could. That's it.
I mean, all the different incarnations, all the different. I mean, we talked about it in length last week, Danny, just how much they went through from those early days on the $10 pay per views to
the Panda Hulk Hogan Express, trying to destroy it.
Yeah. And having to fight back from that. And I mean, it's been a very much an up and down journey for them. Yeah. But they've managed to. Persevere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They keep putting in a quality product.
Yep. I still think it's the best product on TV right now.
Which oddly enough is also heading to Chicago, Illinois this winter or fall, as Bound for Glory will be in Chicago October 21st.
Look in my eyes.
So, you know. I mean,
back to where it all started, brother.
If Punk is looking to go somewhere, the Impact Zone or whatever they call it these days.
It's still the Impact, though.
It's more than a welcoming place. Impact is for everyone.
You can go in and get a cup of coffee for sure. Be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, Bound for Glory in Chicago, that should be a sellout show. See, that's the one thing you can count about Chicago is they'll definitely, you can definitely get a sellout. So, pack the house, make some money, then get out. Like, literally get out because they're trash. But yeah. That is all. Eric, welcome back.
Yeah, it's been a busy couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, we've missed you. 2 weeks ago was a rough one. But now we're all back. We're just eventually Mika just gonna come back with actually working headphones. We'll all be able to hear her again. But until then, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon Music, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Check us out on the X at FOW Radio. Danny's on X at Danny F and Danger. Eric's on X at EJ423X. Mika's on X at Mika Villas. And I'm at Yellowman PA. And until next time, when we eventually get our music back, keep watching wrestling.